I really did enjoy that awesome praise team. Thank you, Michael. You've done a great job. Great job. Now, I'm trying to get something adjusted here, so y'all just hang on with me just 1 second. Got the power on and should be live. Eric, what do you got? Can you hear me? Well, okay. All right. We're ready to roll now. Today's message is kind of a little bit tough. No, it's not a little bit tough. It's a lot tough. Because what we're going to be doing is talking about a subject matter that people don't like to talk about. I got to be honest with you. I don't like to talk about it. But when you preach the whole gospel, the whole counsel of God, you've got to label it all. And you've got to teach it. When it comes down, you've got to nail it just right where it is. Do you remember the last two words on the video this morning, that great softball team? Game over. What happens when the game's over? That's really what we're trying to capture. We're trying to get to that moment because there's, you know, many times you might say, well, man, we played a great game. And I left it all on the field. Or I was a good team player. And you know what? That's a good analogy. But if you stood before God at that moment, I wonder what he would ask. I wonder if he had said, do you love me? Do you love your neighbor? So I was sharing with some people today that the message today is not for you. Okay? It's not for you. Now if the shoe fits, you can wear it. Okay, I'm not saying that. But it's basically designed for somebody that may not be here today. Basically, it's designed around your neighbor. But if you think about that, when we talk about game over, we have to look at this. Larry, am I getting a movement, buddy? There we go. All right. Y'all hang on with me just 1 second. Larry, if this don't work, I'm going to put it down. Your charge. I'm through with it. Huh? Yeah, I'm not moving on my... Okay. Let's go back to number one. Y'all bear with me just a second. I forgot that you got to change it. All right. We're on page one. Here we go. This is where I want to be. Turn me up. Okay. All right. There we go. Death row. Now we're getting, now y'all can hear me a little bit better. Isn't it? Electronics. Aren't they wonderful? Throw them out the window sometime. Scripture says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou see. So what I'd like for you to capture is the love of God. Number one, you've got to be focused in on God's love. The second part of that verse, though, is when we think about loving God, is that it also says, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Larry, it's yours. I'm through with it. Loving your neighbor as yourself is capturing that very, very unique thing. One, do you love God? Sure you do. Yeah, yeah. But the second part of it, just as important, do you love your neighbor as yourself? Keyword, love. Now, if you love somebody, you want what's the best for them. And that's the reason why the scripture tells us very plainly, the second commandment is that you should love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you really love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to want them to go through what we're about to share with you. Four horsemen are coming onto the screen now. And you think about the four horsemen, this is what's going to be happening in just one breath away. You can say, is this going to happen today? It could start today. This is what's going to happen during the time of the 7 years of the tribulation. This is what's going to happen when after the rapture occurs. There's going to be four horsemen. And actually, you're going to see seven elements of of the activity during 7 years. But I want you to know, if you're saved, you're secured, you're sanctified, as she sang about, then you're going to go to heaven. But do you want your neighbor, do you want your relative to go through this? Deception, division, dearth, death. Because when you begin to look at that, deception, really what deception is, it's going to be unsound teaching. And the scripture says that false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Next screen. Even the elect, if it is so possible that you could see this, what is it that you're looking at? And so therefore, if that deception and all is right there, then what is God saying to us? Do I want my neighbor to go through and experience something that's going to be so bad that even those who really believe God could almost be deceived if it was possible? Then the second seal is that of the red horse, and that is division. And that's going to lead to conflict. In leading to conflict, what you ultimately you see, that leads to war. In Luke 12:53, the scripture says, father will be divided against son, and son against father, and mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. In other words, there's going to be such great division going on that it's going to be like the Civil War. Brother fighting brother. Why? Because of the deception. And then after the deception comes along, and after this massive murder, after this killing goes along, after these wars are going along, then all of a sudden you're going to recognize there's going to be a dearth, there's going to be a famine, the black horse. Revelation 6, 5 and 6, it talks about this black horse, and it's going to produce famine. Ezekiel 14, 21 says, for thus the Lord God, how much more shall it be when I send 4 severe judgments on Jerusalem? The sword, famine, wild beast, pestilence, to cut off man and beast from it. You know, I'm reading a book right now called The Insanity of God. And inside of The Insanity of God, back in 1993, Nick went over there and along with another team, and they started helping people. The prior 6 months before that, 500,000 people had starved to death. I can't, you know, those numbers, that I can't compute that type of number right there. In that many people who had literally starved to death, and he was talking about, he was walking down the street one day, and he was going to the place of the work, and there was this woman, and that she was there, she was nursing the baby, and the baby, and the sounds and all, but when he walked back by, the mother was quiet. She had died even in the time of him walking up to the work and back. Starvation. Can you imagine what it would be like with that many people starving here? They've been deceived. Wars ravaged the world. And now all of a sudden the food supply is cut to almost nothing. And now we're seeing this worldwide famine that's taking place. When that occurs, you're going to see something else that's going to. The fourth horse in Revelation chapter 6 verses 7 and 8. It speaks about the loss that's going to take place. And the four horsemen, Zechariah 9:4 says, behold, the Lord will cast her out, and he will destroy her power in the sea, and she will be devoured by fire. How terrible. I can't imagine what it was like on Hiroshima. I can't imagine what it was like when the atomic bomb went off. But this is what I do know. This fourth seal, when it is broken, they're given the power to kill, destroy 25% of all humanity. 25%. Now, how does that really begin to work out? China has 1.3 billion. India has 1.2 billion. United States has 316 million. Indonesia, 251 million. Brazil, 201 million. Pakistan, 193 million. Nigeria, 174 million. Bangladesh, 163 million. Russia, 142 million. Japan, 127 million. What's going to happen in this 7 year period of time? Exactly how many days this is going to take place? The world population today is 7.1 billion people. 25% of that is going to die, be destroyed. How will that happen? I don't know exactly how God can do it, but I know that there's enough nuclear bombs in existence right now to do it. And so therefore the scripture says, and it will be destroyed by fire. Now, what does this mean? What does this mean? Let's see. Okay. I need two people to stand up. Okay, you two. You two, right? Stand up. And I want you to hold hand. Hold her hand. Okay, now. How many people would it take to go all the way around the world standing like that? How many? 5,150,000 people. Y'all can sit down now. 5,150,000 people. How many times, if they stood like that, would the population of the world today circle the earth? 345 times. Standing just like that. Now, with 344 times circling the earth, in this one plague that's going to occur, when they hold the hands going around the earth, you're going to kill 86 of those strands standing around the world. My mind, and if you piled up that many people, I don't know how that works out. You'd wipe out the United States six times, or you'd wipe out China and the U.S., or you'd wipe out the U.S. and Japan. That's what would happen in the event when this time takes place. Let me ask you a question. Do you want your neighbor to go through that? No. Do you want to go through that? No, no. Well, then I'm going to put it plainly. Do you want to go to hell? No. Do you want your neighbor to go to hell? No. But next slide. But when you think about this, did you ever hear a crowd say, "Go to heaven"? No. When I was at State and they were playing Ole Miss, I'm going to be a recorder. And they said, "Go to hell, Ole Miss, go to hell. Go to hell, Ole Miss, go to hell." And the crowd went wild. What a prayer. Think about that. Do you want one person from Ole Miss, State, Alabama, Auburn, Russia, China, Indonesia, Germany, Asia, Africa? Do you want one person to go to hell? God says this. He says, every idle word that we speak, we will be held accountable for. So when you make a prayer like that, when you speak those words, you say, "Oh, I wasn't praying," then what were you saying? All of a sudden, when I begin to think about my neighbor, and I begin to put a face on my neighbor, and I understand that Matthew 12:36 says, "But I say unto you, for every idle a word man may speak, they will give an account of it in that day of judgment." So therefore, when I begin to understand this, I ask myself the question, what does this really mean? A good man out of good treasure is going to speak good words. But what words are coming out of my mouth? How can any believer of the Bible say that? Well, you're saying everybody else is saying that. Everybody else is going to have to make accountable for the words in which they speak. Now, why are you driving that one home? Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in hell? Do you believe men are going to heaven? Do you believe women are going to heaven? Do you believe they're going to hell? Last Tuesday, I started out on my route and I said, Lord, help me to make it to Cheryl's before she passes on. And I made this decision that I'm going to go north to Aberdeen before I go west to West Point. In that decision-making process time, when I made it to Aberdeen, I got the call, Cheryl Gillis is gone. I didn't make it. An hour before this, Bonnie, the daughter, had received the call and she said, I want to see Mama one time. I want to see her one last time. She didn't make it. When I went over there into the house and tried to help make things, then what I did is I looked at this body. And when I was looking at that body, I knew for a fact this person right here either went to heaven or went to hell. But can you say, do you know for sure which way? I don't know for sure. God knows. Okay? I know the fruits were positive, but God knows. What I do know is that I looked at a body right there that had been ravaged by sin. Sin kills. The wages of sin is death. And everybody that leaves out of this world here is going to leave out as a result of sin. And the body is going to back to dust as a result of sin. We're a part of that. We're a part of the human race. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And when I looked at that body, I saw the face of eternity. It started. And the scripture says in the book of Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, the scripture says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs. He fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. There was a rich man. And there was Lazarus. Rich man didn't even have a name. He just called him rich man. But one thing I learned about hell, we need another slide there, buddies. 10 facts nobody wants to talk about, and that's hell. Next slide. The thing that we learned in this text right here is that status down here does not get you a position up there. Let's kind of capture that. Have you been a good neighbor? Is your neighbor going to heaven or is your neighbor going to hell? Oh, I've been a good neighbor, but I don't even know. Matthew 16:26 says, for what profit the man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then he shall reward every man according to his works. Every man according to the works. The reality sets in. Second thing I learned about this, the scripture says that so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Next slide. Angels can what? Angels carry believers to heaven while non-repenters go to hell. Fact. When I got to that site, I was so hoping to get there in time enough. One day, I want to see the angels. I want to see the angels take someone to heaven. I do. I do. With my own earthly eyes, I want to see it. But the reality was, some go to heaven. Some go down. I looked upon this. Oh, I so much want to see the angels. I so much want to see it. But the scripture goes on to tell us. The scripture tells us that it's appointed a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, from salvation. And so therefore, we understand this is reality. This reality is setting in. But then when this reality sets in, all of a sudden I understand that hell is a place of torments. And the scripture, as we read it, says, and being in torments in Hades. If you would notice the word there, it's going to be in torments. It is plural. In other words, we talk about the fires of hell. Folks, that's only one piece of the equation. When the body is there in hell, it's reality, it lives, it is eternal, in so much that it will burn as a place forever. Matthew 25:41 says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. I was naked, and ye clothed me not. I was sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Are you a good neighbor? Fed them, clothed them, visited them, give them water, thirsty. I watched Cheryl, my cousin. For 30 years, she fought with cancer. Nobody will know, her and her husband, the depth of that. She fought to stay alive. She wanted to see her daughter graduate. She did. She fought to stay alive. She wanted to see her daughter married. And she did. She fought. But the finality, death took her. How many people do we know? Oh, they were just good old boys. How many people do we know that is in hell right now in torments? I guess the only thing that I can imagine in this is driving up on a car accident. Recognizing the car, and I say, that couldn't be. But then all of a sudden, the fire begins to burn in that car. And all of a sudden, you begin to recognize the voice that's coming out of that car is a voice that you recognize. And then when you recognize that voice, you know. The fire becomes so strong that you can't, the rescue team cannot go in there and cannot release them because of the fire that is there and it's burning and there's nothing coming out of this but the screams. And you know who it is. And you can't do anything about it. In hell, torments. The screaming is there. And you would want to do something about it. You would like to do something about it. But you can't. Hell is a place of seeing in paradise, but not able to go there. The scripture says, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Can you imagine that? Hell is a place of seeing. That's what he says. But who's going to be there? But not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice iniquity. Depart. Adam and Eve was in the garden. They sinned. Sin was on them. Death was on them. God in loving kindness made them leave the Garden of Eden so that they would not eat of the tree of life and live forever with that status, with that death, wrapped them in flesh. And so he sent them away and put an angel at the gate, never letting them to return back. Hell, seeing a place so wonderful. And then hell is a place of crying out in torment with no one to help. The scripture continues on. It says, then he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Proverbs 1:28 says, and then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They would none of my counsel and despise my rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. I cry out in mercy. Did you know what? God doesn't have to just release the seven seals. All God has to do is take his hand of mercy off of our country and we will destroy it ourselves. That's all he has to do. How do you know that? What kind of man will go into an Amish community, into a kindergarten place, and start killing little innocent kids? What kind of man will go into an elementary school and start killing first graders? What kind of man will go into Columbine High School and start shooting classmates? What kind of man will go into a college campus and start raffling off, spreading forth death? What kind of man will go into a movie parlor and start killing people at random? What kind of man will do that? God doesn't have to sin. He's going to, but God doesn't. All God has to do is take off his hand of mercy and we'll do the destruction ourselves. You know it's true. You know it. What kind of men will fly into a building and take 3,000 innocent people's lives? Hell. Hell is a place of extreme torment and fire. The scripture says, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of the finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I am tormented in the flame, in the lake of fire that burns for brimstone forever and forever. And you say, preacher, are you trying to scare me? Yeah. If I could scare you into reality, if I could scare you out of hell into heaven, I would bring out the big guns, the best that I could do. But folks, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just the messenger boy. The message came from the Father, proclaimed through the Son. Your neighbor is going to burn for eternity in a lake of fire, but you have within your lips life and death. You can share with that neighbor about life. Revelation 20:15 says, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire that will burn forever and ever. Is it my responsibility? Hell is a place of remembering. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. I can only imagine in that moment when Lazarus, the only relief that he got is when the dogs would come and lick the sores on his body. And I can imagine people would walk by and say, "Whoa, scum of the earth." And I can imagine they walk by and some just would kick dust in his face. He was diseased. The rich man was sitting there at the table. He'd eat the meat off of that chicken bone. Fried chicken. Big piece of chicken. When he'd get all the meat off the bone, he'd throw it down below the table. Lazarus would scramble for it. Just to lick the bone. I can imagine that. The pain, suffering, and the rich man said, "Pass another flask of wine." And the rich man said, "Bring out the fatted calf." And the rich man said, "Let's have a party." And I don't even know if he sees Lazarus there. Do you see your neighbor? Do you know what they're going through? Revelation 20:13 says, "The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. What is hell? What is success? The scripture says, "What profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Hell is remembering what you had. Hell is remembering what you kept rather than give in exchange for. Hell is remembering what you could have had. Lazarus received evil things on earth, but in heaven he was comforted. Hell is also a place of separation. The scripture says, "And besides this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." The scripture teaches in Matthew 25:46, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." There is a line drawn, and God says this line is drawn, and there is no passing. Abraham may have wanted to go to the rich man, but he couldn't. Hell is a place of separation from God. All that is good. Coming out of hell, though, hell is a place of remorse. Then he said, "I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify them, lest they also come to this place of torment." What is he saying? I got five brothers. And by his own mouth right there, "I have not told them about the way of the cross. I have not told them about God the Father. I have not told them about heaven. I have not told them follow God. I have not told them about Lucifer." So what they're going to do is, my five younger brothers, they're going to die and they're going to go to hell and they're going to be down here where I am in this place of torment because I didn't tell them. I don't want them to come here. I didn't tell them. You tell them. It's too late. Revelation 20:11, "And then I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. From those who faced the earth, the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. and they were judged, each one according to his work. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Today you've got an opportunity. You got an opportunity. Are you going to tell your brothers? Are you going to tell your neighbor? What do I tell them? I tell them hell is a place of those who rejected the word. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said unto them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. Hell. Those who reject the word. What about your neighbor? What about you? This is eternity. I'd like for us just to think through it for a few moments. Go ahead, Larry, with that hymn. Play the video. Jesus Christ, He paid it all. And during this first part of this invitation, if you'd like to come and give your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to come. Michael's going to come and he's going to back up. It's over. He'll continue on with the invitation. What about it? Will you pray for your neighbor this morning? Will you understand the reality? now open for those who'd like to go and pray for a friend, neighbor. You have five brothers. Are they saved? If you'd like to give your life to Jesus, I'd like to talk with you now. I want you to go to heaven. God wants you to come to heaven.
Showers of mercy and grace. They are falling on every face. There is freedom.